Welcome back. Well, we start this morning with the build-up to talks between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin in Alaska. Today, the US president will join a virtual meeting with European leaders. European Commission Vice President Kaja Kallas told the BBC that any US brokered deal with Russia needs to be agreed by Europe and Ukraine.
For any deal to be implemented, Ukraine needs to agree to that deal. Europe needs to agree to that deal, because otherwise it's just not working. So therefore, in order to be part of any deal, Ukraine needs to be around the table. And it is clear that Russia will present outrageous goals, and they haven't really changed their goals at all. And now it is up to us to put the pressure on Russia so that they would also want peace and support Ukraine so that they are ready to defend themselves.
Meanwhile, White House spokesperson Karoline Leavitt tried to lower expectations for what could be achieved at the summit. She said the talks are one step towards peace and that Donald Trump is trying to keep Europe in the loop about how the Ukraine conflict might end up.
Look, I don't want to reveal the private conversations between the president and President Zelensky, but what I can tell you is that the president has deep respect for all parties that are involved in this conflict and are trying to bring this conflict to an end. After Special Envoy Witkoff returned from his meeting with President Putin in Russia, his first phone call was to President Trump. And President Trump's first phone call was to President Zelensky and to our friends in Europe to keep everybody in the loop about where the United States can see moving the ball forward to end this conflict. And so we continue to be very much engaged with President Zelensky and the Ukrainians, but also our allies in Europe as well.
Well, with us now is Emmanuel Shays, Ukraine correspondent for Radio France International. She joined us from Kyiv. Emmanuel, the meeting today, who'll be attending and what do they hope to achieve?
Well, there are three key meetings today. There's the EU leaders meeting with the NATO General Secretary and Ukraine to discuss, of course, Ukraine security. Then there will be that discussion with Donald Trump and EU leaders as well as Volodymyr Zelensky. And in the end of the day, there will be a meeting of the members of the Coalition of the Willing. You know, this military coalition, those people who agreed to military help Ukraine. So it's quite a defining moment for Ukraine 2 days before the meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin to see what EU leaders, for example, have in mind to pressure, you know, Russia. We know that there's a 19th package of sanctions that is being prepared by the EU. That's the direction that Kyiv would like to see leaders that are Kyiv's allies take when it comes to Russia. And of course, Ukraine is still trying to get a seat at the table of any discussion regarding its future.
Yeah, and Ukraine's president won't be at the Alaska summit. Will European leaders be trying to convince President Trump otherwise?
At least they will try to convince Donald Trump that Ukraine, you know, in order for Ukraine's future to be discussed, it is essential that Ukraine is at that table of negotiations. In any case, when you look here at what people feel towards, you know, what happened over the past few days in terms of, you know, talks with the allies, in terms of that meeting with between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, people here don't really have hope that it's going to change anything on the field, on the ground for them, because they still live under Russian bombs every day. Last night, just to quote what happened last night, there's around 50 drones, kamikaze drones that were in the air. Most of them were intercepted by Ukrainian air defense, but that's the daily reality for Ukrainians, and they simply do not see any sign on the ground of Russia winding down its aggression.
Looking forward to Alaska, President Trump has said that any peace deal would likely involve some swapping of territories. This is a position that Ukraine has always rejected. How high is the level of concern about this in Kyiv?
There's a lot of worry because, you know, time and again over those past few days, we've heard Volodymyr Zelensky repeating that the territorial integrity of Ukraine is enshrined within its constitution. And it's not up for it's not up to Volodymyr Zelensky to simply cede land, to give away land. He cannot do it even as the president of Ukraine. This would, you know, violate the constitution. Also, he warned again last night that if Ukraine were to give away any territory, for example, the 30%, the third of Donetsk region that Russia would like to conquer, that is still under Ukrainian control, this would offer Russia a platform for future aggression against the nearby regions of Kharkiv or Dnipropetrovsk or Zaporizhia. So there's a lot of concern that when it comes to giving some territories, this will simply not be the end. And also, there's a humanitarian question on those territories that are under Russian occupation. There's millions of Ukrainians who live under Russian rule against their will and who are subjected for some to torture, to prison, and who don't live a normal life under this occupation.
In the Donbass, eastern Ukraine, it's reported Russian forces have breached Ukrainian defences. What's happening there right now?
Well, the situation has been a bit confusing because yesterday we've seen on open source that there was what seemed to be a breach in Ukrainian defense lines up to 10 kilometers advanced towards a strategic road between Dobropilia and Kramatorsk. So that's in Donetsk region. Then the Ukrainian government said that there was no such breach, but that there were some isolated groups of 4 to 5 Russian soldiers who managed to go through the line and who disrupted the defense without gaining a foothold there, if you will. And that's very much a Russian tactic as well, to have those elastic, offensives when you see a deep push and then they go back because they didn't manage to seize territory. So it's also an informational war, as Kyiv warned. And they said that they sent reinforcements in that area. It is an area where the Russians put so much pressure on the Ukrainian army as is. It is not far from the embattled city of Pokrovsk. So from the Ukrainian perspective, there's simply no sign of Russia winding down its offensive.
Is this President Putin wanting to show President Trump that he's winning the war ahead of the Alaska summit?
I mean, on the field, on the ground, you can see no reason why Russia would cease its aggression, because it is putting the necessary pressure from its perspective, you know, to force the Ukrainians to be in a defensive position. They manage to advance, even if it's really, really slowly, even if it comes at a huge cost for the Russian army. They lose, on average, 1,000 people from injury, from death. They lose enormous amount of equipment, and still they continue to grind that territory very slowly. There's simply no sign of Russia wanting to stop this tactic, and that's very much what Ukrainians worry about.
What do you expect the outcome of the Alaska summit to be?
Honestly, a lot of talk and not a lot of results for Ukraine. In any case, there's no sign of a ceasefire, even a partial one. There's no sign of offensives stopping on the front line. We've mentioned Donetsk region, but we also have to look at the Kursk-Sumy border, where fighting is intense. Zaporizhia is also the same. So, frankly, I don't see, as long as Russia doesn't accept that Ukraine also has a right to existence, I don't see those talks to bring anything positive and any big change in the near future.
Emmanuel Shays, Ukraine correspondent for Radio France Internationale. Thanks for joining us this morning. It's now 7:19. Well, we return now to this week's Putin-Trump summit in Alaska before it happens on Friday. European leaders will meet Donald Trump in a virtual call later today. And former US National Security Advisor John Bolton has said the Alaska summit could be very dangerous for Ukrainians.
Trump wants this to be his deal that he makes with Putin, that he then presents to Zelensky, which obviously is very dangerous for the Ukrainians. So, and it certainly fits right into Putin's game plan. Keep the Ukrainians out, keep the pesky Europeans out, just one-on-one between him and Trump. So for different reasons, admittedly, but both Trump and Putin see the advantage to their objectives in just doing it between the two of them.
Well, joining us now is Jenny Mathers, a senior lecturer in international politics at Aberystwyth University. Jenny, we know Ukraine won't be part of the Alaska summit. Is today's meeting about changing that because President Zelensky will be attending it?
Well, I think it's unlikely that Trump is going to change his mind and bring Zelensky along. And certainly Putin wouldn't regard Zelensky's presence as acceptable. So, no, I don't think it's about trying to get Zelensky into the meeting. I don't think the Europeans are under any illusions. But I think it is about trying to sort of inoculate Trump in some ways against, listening to Putin and accepting whatever Putin says uncritically. So I think what's going to happen today is the various sort of European leaders are going to be putting the case for example, not agreeing to, Russia's conditions about, getting more territory before a ceasefire is declared and just making sure that Ukraine's interests are represented.
What's the advantage for Putin if Zelensky is frozen out of the Alaska summit?
Well, it means that Putin gets to sit down with Trump without anybody else in the room who's going to challenge what Putin says. And he can put Russia's case directly to Trump. He can be as persuasive as he can. Zelensky won't be there. No Europeans will be there. None of Trump's advisors are likely to challenge anything that Putin is saying. So it's going to be a real opportunity for Putin to set out his stall and be as persuasive as he can.
Now, the White House is saying that these talks are one step towards peace. Is that how we should look at them?
Well, I think we should look at them as a step. I don't know whether it's going to be a step towards peace. I think a lot depends on not only what happens at the talks themselves, but then what happens subsequently. Are any steps taken at the talks which can be built upon, or is everything just going to be a big sort of show for the cameras and sort of puffing up the reputations of Trump and Putin? So I think, we still have a lot to see yet before we can say that this is a decisive step towards peace.
Well, we have a lot to wait for, and we don't know the steps, as you're saying, but President Trump has said that any peace deal would likely involve some swapping of territories. Is that the direction that we're moving at this stage?
So I think there's a lot of recognition, even though it's not always acknowledged, that the Ukrainians may have to put up with at least a temporary sort of acceptance of Russian occupation of Ukrainian territory. It's not something that they want to do, but I think, barring a major influx of weaponry and a huge amount of extra support, it's going to be hard to avoid that position. I think what's different about what Putin wants is he's demanding that the Ukrainians withdraw from territory that they currently occupy before a ceasefire happens. So Putin is demanding gains on the ground, which he has so far not been able to make through armed force.
Well, President Zelensky isn't entertaining those kinds of ideas. He wants a ceasefire before negotiations start. Is that really the space we're in?
Yes, I think it is. I mean, I think, Zelensky's got an excellent point. There's no guarantee that if Russia were offered, even more territory than they've already seized, that they wouldn't just bank it and keep demanding and keep taking more. I think the worry is that if this were to happen, that the Russians would use this additional territory, which includes some very heavily fortified towns and cities that the Ukrainians have built, defensive lines around. It would use this as a basis for further attacks in the future on Ukraine.
And isn't that a real concern for Ukraine? They don't want to give up the Donbass because President Zelensky has said that if they do, it could be another launch pad for Russia to have attacks in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Because Putin has made it really clear that he doesn't think Ukraine is a real state. He doesn't think that Ukraine deserves to exist as an independent sovereign state. He thinks that Russia is entitled to control it, either directly or indirectly. So, no one, I think, in Ukraine believes that the Donbass is the total limit of Putin's ambitions when it comes to Ukraine.
And then we see the Donbass in eastern Ukraine reports that Russian forces have breached Ukrainian defences there. Is this President Putin wanting to show President Trump before the summit that he's winning the war ahead of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is almost certainly a tactical move because reportedly from the Ukrainians, you know, it's just Russian soldiers sort of carrying personal arms. They don't even have any sort of tanks or supporting vehicles with them. It's just to try and get more boots on the ground to make a story which will persuade Trump that, you know, the Russians are on the winning side. You know, the movement is in their direction and that the Ukrainians, as Trump likes to say, don't have any cards to play with.
Well, we can expect lots of photos and sound bites on Friday, but what would be the big win for Russia?
I think the fact that it's happening at all is a big win for Russia. I mean, meeting the US president on US soil after all the efforts that the Biden administration made to try and make sure that Putin was isolated and treated like a pariah by the international sort of Western-led community, that's huge in and of itself, even if nothing else happens. But the fact that, you know, Putin will have the chance to make his plea directly to Trump without any kind of interference, that's also huge.
And what does Trump get out of this meeting?
Well, Trump gets to say that he is playing a key role in peace in Ukraine. He gets to spin this really any way that he wants to. And of course, he gets the opportunity to have this one-on-one meeting with Putin. And we know that Trump really admires Putin, that he thinks of him as a sort of archetypal strong leader, and that it's a position that Trump aspires to himself. So the opportunity to meet Putin face-to-face is not one that he would want to give up.
And finally, how are you reading this? Can you see some kind of proposal coming out of Friday's meeting?
Well, I'm sure that Russia will make a series of demands. And the only question then is whether or not Trump will get behind them and use them as a basis for a sort of a US proposal. I think it's very likely. I think the Europeans and the Ukrainians are going to have a hard time undoing any damage that Trump might do at this meeting.
Jenny Mathers from Aberystwyth University, thanks for joining us this morning. It's now 8:24.